This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our speaker today was Christine Dudley, the director of the Illinois Film Office. Chris Dudley leads the Illinois Film Office that promotes Illinois as a global destination for film, television, and advertising production. It's the gateway to government for the industry. They manage the Film Production Tax Credit Program that is into its second decade and provide a full range of services that support production and business development for the growth of Illinois' creative arts company. Christine Dudley is a graduate of Indiana University and at one time in her career worked for United States Congressman Fred Grandy, who was actually Gopher on the Love Boat. Dudley said that the industry is a tremendous jobs provider and economic engine in the state of Illinois, and that investment in film and TV and advertising and creativity is vital to the economic success of Illinois. For example, just this week, Chicago PD, Chicago Police Department, is filming its 100th episode in the city of Chicago. Movie Maker Magazine recently said that Chicago was one of the top five cities for film industry in the United States. Chicago has been Hollywood for many, many years, and with the addition of cable TV, TV advertising, in addition to the four networks, Chicago has moved into a leadership role in the United States. Chicago provides skilled crews, tremendous locations throughout the state, and over 13,000 jobs. Last year, TV revenue resulted in $293 billion, advertising revenue $60 billion, and the film industry $68 billion, all pumped into Chicago and the Illinois economy. 347 productions last year in Illinois, a total of $425 million, and those 13,000 jobs. The film industry, brought to you by Christine Dudley.
Thank you, Ed and Jay, and the City Club for the opportunity to speak about the expansion of film industry and the positive impact it's had on the state's creative arts economy. As many of my friends, colleagues, and respected members of the film community that are here today know, I'm not prone to brevity, especially when I'm discussing the vast aspects, data, trends, assets, and opportunities that the collaboration of the public and private sector has had in building this industry into a jobs provider and an economic driver in Illinois. And like my colleague Corey Job, the director of tourism, so aptly stated in his remarks to the City Club, if there's anything I want you to take away today, it's that the film industry is not only a great investment, but the continued expansion and sustainability is vital to the economic success of our state. But of course, because this is show business, we'll have a little fun today as well. A special shout out to my fiance, Andy Rauschy, who puts up with all my nonsense, with his support, wisdom, and guidance. Thanks also to my colleagues at DCEO, the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, and the film office staff. They ably manage and administer the services integral to the film and television and commercial advertising industry that we are entrusted to serve. So thank you to the film office in particular. It's perhaps fitting that we are here in January, the month when many nominations, awards, and celebrations take place in the entertainment business, all of which have connections to the creative arts community here in Illinois. This week, Oscar nominations went to Steppenwolf ensemble member Larry Metcalf and former Chicago improviser Jordan Peele. At the Sundance Film Festival, Cartemquin Films are premiering three documentaries. And this week, our friends at Chicago PD celebrate the milestone of filming their 100th episode. And many of them are here. They're some of the producers and team. So thank you. Last week, Chicago, Illinois was once again named by Movie Maker Magazine as one of the top five cities to live and work as a filmmaker. So how did we get here? And where can we go next? Like any good script, there's a robust backstory. It is fitting as we celebrate the state's bicentennial that our history informs our future. In the nascent days of moving pictures introduced to the public at the Chicago Columbian Exposition, Chicago emerged as the filmmaking, distribution, and movie equipment manufacturing epicenter. In fact, the book Flickering Empire suggests Chicago invented the U.S. film, industry. Excuse me. SNA Studios on the north side was busy producing silent films starring Charlie Chaplin and Gloria Swanson. The first feature-length Sherlock Holmes movie was shot on location in Chicago at SNA. Famous players, Lasky Corporation, the parent company of what would become Paramount, established a robust distribution business in the South Loop. Trivia sidebar for Ed Mazur. The Lasky entryway arc to their South Office Loop offices was a precursor to the storied Paramount Gates. The original arc is now integrated into the Columbia College Media Center designed by architect Jeannie Gang. And sidebar. By 1915, for a wide range of primarily business-related reasons, the film industry innovators, entrepreneurs, and talent had established a new home in Southern California. For many decades, the LA-based studios, financed primarily by Wall Street, contained film production to their backlots and sound stages. When television programming emerged as the next big thing in entertainment, commercial advertising became essential. Legendary ad man Leo Burnett, the creator of Tony the Tiger, Charlie the Tuna, and the Marlboro Man, put Chicago at the forefront of a new kind of storytelling, which requires the same production elements as filmmaking, creating a burgeoning commercial advertising business right here in Chicago. But feature films visited Illinois infrequently. City Hall at that time, under the first Mayor Daley, required all scripts be submitted for approval before film permits would be issued. Not exactly encouraging or film-friendly. In that era, Chicago continued to generate some of the best live entertainment with the establishment of improvisational comedy at Second City, and talented storefront theater companies were producing the works of young playwrights like David Mamet on their black box stages. Films remain central to our cultural community, however. Because everybody loves the movies, Michael Kutza, who is here with us today, founded the Chicago Film International Film Festival, now in its 54th year. Siskel and Ebert became celebrity film reviewers. The talent, however, slowly matriculated to find fame and fortune in the film and television production centers of California and New York. But the Leo Burnett Agency, Jane Byrne, and James R. Thompson soon were responsible for ushering in a new generation of filmmaking in Illinois. Thompson saw the opportunity for generating revenue from the film industry and established the Illinois Film Office in 1976, then housed in the Department of Tourism. And then I would have had to work for Corey. Their mission was to recruit film production by using our state location shooting for our state for location shooting. And in 1979, they provided the initial scouting services to director John Landis, who was looking to produce a little movie called The Blues Brothers. Jane Byrne was mayor and embraced the opportunity to showcase Chicago and enthusiastically opened the doors, streets, and services to the actors and film crew. Around the same time, former Leo Burnett copywriter John Hughes had transitioned to a career as a scriptwriter. In 1984, he wrote and directed The Breakfast Club, filmed at Maine South High School in Des Plaines, the former home of Senator Sullivan. When the success of the subsequent Hughes films in Chicago was back on the map and making a contribution to the local economy, vendors, and most importantly, the backbone of the production, the crew, the individuals behind the scenes, gaffers, grips, electricians, camera operators, location scouts, were finding sustainable employment. A steady stream of studio-produced feature films continued to bring their productions to Illinois in the early to mid-90s. Television was still primarily contained to the coast, with the exception of Early Edition, which was filmed entirely in Chicago in the late 90s. And then our neighbors to the north, Canada, once again changed the production landscape. In an effort to generate a new industry, they established a film tax credit program. The cost benefit to the producers made good sense to their bottom line. This resulted in what is now referred to as the runaway production era, punctuated when the Oscar-winning movie musical Chicago was filmed in Toronto. The U.S. industry was in decline. The industry had to recalibrate. The solution was to replicate the success of the Canadian tax program in the U.S. markets. Illinois was an early adopter. Our industry was also in decline. Commercial advertising was providing the only consistent employment, and revenues were on the downswing. So in 2003, a focused campaign led by local stakeholders working with state, public, and elected officials established the first Illinois film tax credit program with a focus on direct spending in Illinois and jobs for Illinois residents. 42 more states followed to establish their own tax credit program. That's the landscape today. But many of the programs failed in other states because they didn't have the necessary infrastructure, diverse locations, crew, acting talent, and cultural amenities essential to support and build an industry. Illinois had all of the above. Illinois, and specifically Chicago, were already well known in the industry as a great place for production. The incentive revived and ushered in a new era for commerce and economic opportunity. Fox filmed their first season of the episodic television show Prison Break here, and the tentpole movies like Batman, Divergent, and Transformers brought new life. These productions invigorated our economy by collectively spending over $200 million and hiring skilled local resident crew. The tax incentive envisioned by the stakeholders in the film community had produced positive results. It was renewed and expanded in 2007. Basic cable, premium channels such as HBO, Showtime, and Stars began to rapidly increase their production of original content. Episodic television was no longer the domain of the four networks. Illinois took a great leap forward when Stars announced they would produce the episodic series Boss, starring Kelsey Grammer. 2012, legendary producer and former ad man, Dick Wolf, of Law & Order fame, created the first of his Chicago franchises, bringing life to the NBC series Chicago Fire. And in 2014, Fox began production of their groundbreaking series Empire. All of these shows are filmed in their entirety in Illinois. Illinois is no longer a one-off location for shooting, but a full-service production community. Each of these shows contribute 35 to 40 million in direct spending to the Illinois economy per season. And thousands. Good, above? Yes, let's give it a shout out. And thousands of good, above national average paying jobs have been created and sustained. Since 2002, over $2.6 billion with a B has been generated in economic activity in Illinois on television, film, and advertising production, with close to 50% of that being in wages. Emerging technology, however, would once again disrupt and democratize the production landscape. In the last 3 years, the change has been tsunamic. The surge of Amazon and Netflix, digital streaming services, raised the demand for original content and enhanced our Illinois portfolio. Let's add The Onion and Comedy Central to that group, all of whom have produced programs in Illinois in the last couple of years. Demand for content is at its highest level. According to an annual report recently released by the Motion Picture Association of America, over 450 original series aired in 2016, and it's estimated that the number increased to over 500 in 2017. The great television creator Michael Shear says it best. We're all going to die with thousands of hours of unwatched excellent television. There's nothing we can do about it. All joking aside, that, my friends, means more growth and economic opportunity for Illinois.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
5, 6, 7, 8.
I'm sorry, are you the boss man?
You got the gun.
There's something inside my house.
we can expect some sort of public reaction.
Well, if you got something, why don't we just record it?
We're in the business of saving lives.
Do you have any other details about the girl?
If I was doing less laundry and less dishes, we would be having more sex.
Your impatience is a known engineering parameter.
By the dawn's early light.
When I see a dog, I like to try to communicate telepathically with it and let it know that I'm okay.
How do you do that?
Are you a McMillan man?
Oh, man, yeah.
I have a secret. Want to hear it?
Special thanks to our friends at the Chicago International Film Festival. They commissioned that sizzle reel to be done. And with all of these changes, it's important to note that every professional in the Illinois industry has not only met the challenges of the changing environment and landscape, but adapted to the change in a way that put Illinois and the city of Chicago in a position to cement our place as a production center. Here is what, and I want to give a special hat tip to Bradley Matthews, the president of IATSE. He's one of the leaders in the industry who has seen the good times and the bad times, and we're glad that we've got good times for you. So what are the current results? Yesterday, or this afternoon, our office announced our 2017 numbers. As you can see, in 2017, 347 productions were made in Illinois. These projects represented an estimated $423 million in Illinois spending and 13,797 job hires. As you can see, the dark one is what is represented in television spending, the light blue is film, and the red is commercial advertising. So television is our sweet spot, and it dominates it, but it doesn't take away from those other communities because they are all part of the ecosystem, and we all work together in terms of making sure that we have the highest value for all of them to produce their commercials, their films, and their television programs. New projects in 2017, or somebody in the office said it's so 2017, included Amazon's Electric Dreams, currently on, currently streaming, Showtime, The Chi, and Comedy Central's Hot Date. Films made in Illinois for release in 2018 included Widows, starring Oscar winner Viola Davis, Robert Duvall, along with Liam Neeson, and it was directed by the Oscar-winning director Steve McQueen. That would be Steve McQueen from 12 Years a Slave, not Steve McQueen, who used to ride in the cars. What They Had, starring Oscar winner Hilary Swank and Oscar nominee Michael Shannon, has been selected for premiere at Sundance this week. And The Pages, a political thriller starring Jamie Lee Curtis, written and directed by Illinoisan Joe Chappelle of The Wire and Chicago Fire fame, raised the bar on our independent film production. Illinois can boast about being the only state in the country that requires all tax credit applicants to submit a diversity hiring plan. Productions can be denied the credit if they don't demonstrate best efforts to meet the diversity goals. I'm happy to report that in 2017, Illinois had our most diverse year for crew hires on record. Women and minority hires made up 53% of reported crew employees. That's up 10% from 2011. Now, I understand we still have a long way to go, but it's still a major milestone for the industry. Expanding opportunities for underrepresented groups has been a priority of the Rauner administration, and I'm proud to see these numbers continue to climb. Another thing that sets Illinois apart is the training and education opportunities that foster development of creative and skilled labor. We have top-rated film schools like DePaul, Columbia College, Northwestern, and most recently, the Harold Ramis Film School. Free Spirit Media founder Jeff McCarter, a former intern of the Illinois Film Office, who's with us today, focuses on recruitment and media arts of youth and economically challenged communities. Last summer, Cinecares and Sheila Brown in cooperation with the trade unions, launched an intern program placing an initial cohort of 9 individuals selected from Lawndale and the surrounding communities to train with all the NBC franchise shows. Special shout out to NBC for their commitment to that program. We're creating a pipeline of talent that's essential to maintaining and sustaining the industry for the long term, while expanding commerce opportunities to communities across Illinois. Additionally, as a result of the growth in technology and film production, new businesses that support the film industry are opening or expanding their brick-and-mortar operations in Illinois. Hundreds of new jobs have been created by camera houses, post-production facilities, to name a few. Panavision, Frame Store, The Mill have all set up or returned to Illinois. It's easy to think of production, whether it's movies, TVs, or commercials, as simply a small team of actors or someone running a camera. But it's far more than that. A production expands from concept to creation to post-editing. The amount of people behind the scenes that facilitate just 1 minute of content include those you'd never think of, like security, caterers, carpenters, location scouts, production coordinators, accountants. In fact, take some time when you're at the movies or you're watching a TV show to watch the credit. The credits, the scroll, those are the backbone of every program. Our job at the Illinois Film Office is to be the gateway to government for the film industry. Every day, we set out to fulfill our mission to market Illinois as a comprehensive destination center for production of film, television, digital, and commercial advertising in order to create, train and retain jobs for Illinois residents. We foster industry and ancillary business development and promote diversity in the workforce to bring significant revenue to the state. It's important to note that Illinois doesn't have the largest incentive out there, but in this competitive environment, make no mistake, it's essential to have an economic incentive. But our massive talent pool, diverse locations, and our film facilities are assets that continue to give us the edge and set us apart. I'm thankful to Governor Rauner for his support of the industry. He recognizes that the film industry, like the tech sector, is entrepreneurial at its core, and it represents great opportunity for expanded job growth and new commerce. And we're seeing those results. The credit goes also and primarily to the private sector, the growing list of stakeholders representing the entrepreneurs, the innovators, the writers, the crew, vendors, and trade unions have all made Illinois the production destination place it is today. And to my colleagues at the City of Chicago, who have a national reputation as one of the most film-friendly offices in the country, their expertise and flawless coordinating of city services for the facilitation of location shooting is essential, and they do it beautifully. We have great locations. These collective efforts are the reason Illinois is now number 1 in the Midwest for film production, number 3 in the country for commercial advertising, and number 5 in the country with California, New York, Georgia, and New Mexico for overall production. It's a victory to see our state at the forefront of such an exciting and evolving industry. And I don't think anyone could say it better than our friend Ethel Merman.
No business like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow.
Come on, everybody.
Could you get that happy feeling when you are.
Who cannot dance to Merman?
There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low. Yesterday they told you you would not go far. You open, and there you are. Next day on your dressing room, they hung a star. Let's go on with the show.
And go on with the show, I hope we will. Little trivia aside. I worked for a gentleman named Fred Grandy years ago. He was gopher on the Love Boat. Dateless Wonders on a Saturday Night of my age know who he is. He ran for Congress and I ran his campaign. Ethel Merman had portrayed his mother on the Love Boat. For his 40th birthday, he gave me the outtakes of the Love Boat to put a compilation together kind of for fun. So, Merman has always been very special in my heart, but also when the congressman got a little pouty and didn't want to do something, or he was just tired, I would burst into his office and do my best Merman. Because it was show business. So thank you again for the opportunity. I know that this is an exciting time to be in the industry, but I also want everybody to make sure they watch Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Chicago Med, keep those ratings up, Empire, take a look, and also join us in celebrating an industry that is really going to be a great part of our future for a long time to come with your help and support. Thanks.
Terrific. That was great.
It's great to be in Chicago and Illinois and have Christine at the IFO, isn't it? Yes. Tremendous. If any of you have any questions, if you would just, we'll have members of our staff come around and pick up your questions. And I have a couple here. Why Georgia? You mentioned Georgia as one of the main attractions. I noticed there's a new show not filmed in Chicago. It's in Atlanta, called The Residence.
Yeah.
So why Georgia?
Well, that's a good question. Georgia was one of the states that adopted the Film Tax Credit Incentive Program. And they, in an effort to, they really didn't have an infrastructure. So basically what they said is, what do you need to make things happen here? And they have the most aggressive tax incentive in the country. Therefore, the return on investment, they incentivize things that we don't, such as non-resident labor, and that makes it very attractive to the bottom line. And to their credit, they have built an industry down there. I'm not sure it's too big to fail or not, but they do have some assets and advantages, and they purposely went in that direction with a very aggressive incentive. But trust me, whenever I see the peach at the end, not liking that. We want to see more Illinois Film Office.
Okay, great. This is from Jeff McCarter with Free Spirit Media. How are organizations like Free Spirit Media helping to build the creative economy and promote diversity?
I think I addressed that in my remarks, and thank you for the question, Jeff. I think as the founder, you can speak more eloquently to that issue, but because of the work that's being done by yourself, Cinecares, and other organizations, the opportunity for training in economically disadvantaged communities, for youth to be trained and to allow them a creative arts opportunity, their skilled labor or writing or directing, is a very important part of the pipeline, and I think it's a very essential part of growing the pipeline, but also it's also a very important part of our workforce overall.
Okay. This is from Burling Bank's Brian Meek. Does your office interact with Chicago Media Angels? And for those of us who are not familiar with Chicago Media Angels, maybe you could tell us.
I will.
Good.
One of the things that we, as we look to the future, investment and risk capital for independent film production and television production really is wanting. I mean, Illinois and the Midwest in general is pretty conservative. We're now involved in the tech industry, but the coasts, the LA and California have always had that risk capital that's become available and that they've been willing to utilize for film production. Media Angels saw the need and the necessity, because we have so much creative talent, to begin their investment entrepreneur. They work with their entrepreneurs who have built a media fund, just like a tech fund, you know, for investment in projects that are trying to launch and need funding. So it is very much like the tech sector. I don't know all the, you know, shareholder information. I can't speak to that piece of it. But they're a very important part, and we hope that more and more, Sperling Bank answering the question, we're hoping that more and more of the capital here finds the investment in film, finds their way to investment in film, because it is, the statistics are there, it is risk capital, but it is just as risky as tech, but it's a lot more fun, and and obviously the opportunities are vast.
Okay. Some great questions here, Christine. So we'll give you one you can hit right out of the park. This is from someone named Jen. Didn't put her last name or his last name, but we'll give him this question anyhow. Tell us about your fabulous scarf.
Okay, Jen. I bought it at the Chicago Athletic Association. They used to have this really cool Tony gift shop downstairs. They don't have it there anymore, so you can't have one.
Yeah, now you're reduced to Steak and Shake or whatever is over there, the Shake Shack. Okay. This is from John Diggs, who's affiliated with MWWPR. The tax incentive passed in 2003 continues to be a big TV and film draw. Any plans to add to it, to expand or strengthen it?
Another good question. The tax credit, actually, the credit that we, the statute that we live with and implement and manage now, was actually passed in 2007. And at that time, it was expanded from 2003. It is due to sunset in 2021. We have already been working with the legislature in order and the stakeholders in particular to make sure that it will be extended and the opportunity for some changes that would be reflective relative to the change that's happened in the industry. We certainly are looking for opportunities to make it stronger and to make adjustments that will be allow us more opportunities. So at this time, yeah, 2021 is when it's due to sunset, but we are already working on and looking at that opportunity to make sure that we continue to have a tax credit incentive, because it really is essential. So thank you for the question.
Great. Our next question is from Beth Bracco, who's with Blue Plate Catering. And Beth, we hope you appreciated Maggiano's catering today. The question is, how has the CineSpace Film Studios contributed to the success of film and its production in Chicago?
It was a game changer. Absolutely a game changer, because when the Markopoulos family, which actually was where Chicago, the movie musical, was filmed, CineSpace Studios in Toronto, decided to put a footprint down in Chicago. We have had sound stages and continue to have, but we needed more. And the vision that they had to build an entire complex that serviced not only with sound stages, but also available for vendors and really more of a backlot studio, not only enhanced, but gave greater opportunity. And indeed, the programs, the Chicago series and Empire, are all filmed there, and the expansion has taken place over the years as more and more. We also have sound stages on the west side, and we have smaller sound stages around the city. So the more sound stages that we have, but the complex itself was a game changer, and really in concert with that was 2011 through the current time figures that I shared with you today.
Okay, thank you. This is a good question. Plus, this woman, Sharon Gorell. Sharon, where are you? Terrific. She says she's going to become a member today. Excellent. And you can easily read her question. Okay. She's the director of global business for Illinois Realtors. What are some of the best kept secrets here in Illinois that you would share to an investor looking to build his next studio or add to the creative infrastructure of the state?
I don't know about best kept secrets. I mean, as it relates to, there are some fun locations that, and I know our friends in the Chicago series. Has anybody driven down I-55 and wondered what those big silos were?
Yeah.
Guess who owns that? the state of Illinois. Why does the state of Illinois own that? I have no idea. However, it's a marvelous place, a location place for shooting. If you stand there, the vista of the skyline is incredible. It also is urban decay. It can really be a lot of different things. So it's that's kind of a odd little secret, A, that we own it, the state of Illinois, and B, that a lot of filming takes place there, and it's a really fun place. It's not safe, by the way. We've had to... but because we have such skilled crew working on the major shows, they never get into trouble. We worry about the student filmmakers. But it is that's kind of an interesting little secret location that a lot of filmmakers and television shows go to. In terms of business investment, I think that as the industry grows, it is important that we keep up with the industry. I know in Georgia in particular, they're building a lot of sound stages. And it's not just throwing up a tent and putting soundproofing in. It's a lot more than that. So I don't want to get into the granular detail, but I think the opportunity, as the growth is there, we can always use more sound stages because more sound stages means more opportunity.
Great. Okay, we just have a couple more questions. This is from David Walsh. How do you choose set locations, and how does someone submit a set location for consideration?
Well, we don't choose them, but we work with prospective film and television and commercial advertising. When we're putting together a package, they may send our office a script that's broken down, and we have at the film office, we maintain a locations library. And that locations library, Lisa, what now has 3,000? How many? How many entries, Lewis?
2,000 entries, 10,000 photos.
10,000 photos. And they're constantly being updated and collected, and it's a very special software program for the film industry. But we will look at, they will break down the script, or if they don't have a script, we will work with them to understand what their creative vision is. In terms of any one of you here, we need everything. You never know. Somebody's going to need a rooftop pool. They'll call our office. I need a rooftop pool. Well, let's see if we've got one, or we can think of one. If you have a property or someplace that you'd like to have, send it to our office, film@illinois.gov, and we will list it in our directory, and we can't guarantee anything, but the more locations we have, the better. I know UIC is here today, and actually they present... they are very close partners with Chicago PD, and that location is used consistently. But it's not just property like that. It's homes. If you have a condo, if you have a home, there's just all kinds of locations. Think about movies and TV. What are you seeing? If you've got it, list it with us.
Okay, there are a couple questions here that are sort of tied together, so we'll call this the last question. This is David Tomei, Eric Friedman, and Shaka Reeves. Thought I was going to say Shaka Khan. Okay. Hey, I'm back there with Lawrence Welk and the Bubble Machine. What can I say?
God love you. Okay. You liked Merman, right?
I did. Yeah, of course. Absolutely. You know that. The questions are sort of how do you and the IFO plan to better educate the 18 to 24 demographic on the logistical process of going through a state film office to bring more independent productions to Illinois. Young filmmakers like myself say, wow, I want to film on location in Chicago, but we don't know where to start that process or how to make it happen.
Well, first of all, pick up the phone and call us, 312-814-3600. Second of all, we have really made a very strong effort. And it's really a priority to get out and work with the school, the film schools in particular. We spend a lot of time working with and visiting the schools. So each semester or each quarter, we try to have a presentation or at least a dialogue with young filmmakers. And I think if a young filmmaker is truly an entrepreneur, again, picking up the phone to call us, but also letting Northwestern and Columbia College. We spend a good amount of time and as much as we can with the faculty so they can inform the students, and then as much as possible talking directly to the students. I can tell you firsthand, we get a lot of calls from young filmmakers. They like to use the silos. It's their favorite place. But we're there. We offer the same services to young filmmakers that we would to anyone. The services are there to the public. And we hope that many of these young filmmakers that are in school now, an example, I would say, is Southern Illinois University, where I know this particular questioner went to school. Joe Schwanberg, who you saw on the quick clip there, produces and directs and writes the TV show Easy. Joe went to SIU. He is an independent filmmaker extraordinaire. Started literally, you know, doing microfilms with his friends and family, walking the locations were his family homes, walking around, and he became his Drinking Buddies was probably one that many of you might have heard of. They kind of became known as the Mumblecore. It was a kind of that genre. But Joe produces, directs, and writes for Chicago. Ted Sarandon, at Netflix, I had an opportunity to say hello to him last year in L.A. And Netflix picked up Easy, the TV show Easy that Joe does, and he said Joe's kind of like the Woody Allen of Chicago, and I think that's probably true. I mean, he uses the city as part of his background. It is another character in his productions. So, young filmmakers, be entrepreneurial, be smart, do your research, pick up the phone, call, ask questions, and because it's important that you have the resources so to explore your creative talent. But also, we want to make sure that you stay in Illinois.
Thank you, Christine. Let's give her a big round of applause.